For the next few moments, I want to do what is a tradition for me in the last several years. Some have called it a State of the Church address. Others would call it a vision, but I'm calling it a vision recast. Before I get there, let me share with you something personal. My wife and I are approaching our fifth year anniversary with you as a church, as your pastor, and I want to thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving my family. My kids, when they walked in this church, were really at home. They really loved that. My wife found a Sunday morning Bible study. I told her, I said, listen, now just when you go in there, tell them that you're looking among several. And she found one immediately. And so thank you from the bottom of my heart for loving my family and doing that. I want you to know that what I'm sharing with you is a personal thing for me. When I take on the role as a pastor, I at one time feel called by this. But secondly, I feel like this is something that God has, I'm going to use a Bible word here, that I'm a steward over. What I mean by that is, if I were a museum curator and they had given me the Gutenberg Bible, a Bible that is about 500 or 600 years old, I would take care of that, if that was in my possession. If I had an antique handed down from generations into my family, I would do everything possible to hand that to the next generation. It'd be important for me. This church is not an antique, but in some ways, it operates in that as my role as pastor is to pass it on to the next generation. This church is 61 years of age. God has used this church mightily in this community. It is a common thing for pastors to say, if your church went missing in your zip code next week, would the community feel it? I know they would this one. Long before I got here, this church had its fingers in the tentacles in this community helping hurting people. Government services would have to go up the very next day if this church were not existing. Welfare rolls would have to go up. I just know it. I know what happens here. I know your heart. And so I want you to know that I take that seriously as a pastor. Secondly, I want you to know I feel called to this. What I'm sharing with you today, as we go forward and do Cross Church, I want you to know that on my personal journey, whatever the Lord allows me to accomplish, this I just know is what God made me for. I don't know if you have that kind of freedom. I find tremendous freedom being on a railroad track. That's what my life's on. I have tremendous freedom knowing you go forward. There's not a whole lot of directions I have to go. It's just go forward. And so I'm so excited because by faith I know over the next half century, we're 61 years old as a church. I'm not that old. Our church is. At 122, 60 plus years of existence across church, I just wonder what all is going to happen there. So I'm thrilled. I want you to know it's a personal thing for me. I want you to know it's personal in that I care for this and point us forward. Today, you're not going to get a lot of Bible. If you want Bible, you're going to get some. If you want Bible, go to Bible study. Some of you don't do that. You should do that. But you can also come back next week as we start a new series on Mother's Day entitled In Awe of God. It's going to be hopefully a great time together, and I invite you to be a part of that as we look together at the attributes of God, series I've been wanting to preach for a long, long time from the book of Psalms. But the purpose of today is a vision recast. We do this because I think in some ways, now not always, in some ways, that we're like stockholders in this church. Now really, bottom line, this is not your church, nor is it mine. This is Jesus' church. But in some ways, when you give your time, you give your resources to a church, and you give your life to a church, and I hope that you do that, you need to have a sense of transparency from the leadership and know what's happening. What is our strategy going forward to answer some of those questions? And so today, I want to point our church forward. It's a vision recast, and I've already told you this, and you need to be told again, and I need to hear it again. Because the strategy of a church operates like the holes in a bucket. What happens to water in a bucket that has holes in it? Where does it go? And that's the same thing that happens in a church. So many times I get asked a question. I'll probably get one asked the next week or so that I've answered in this message. And by the grace of Jesus, I'll smile and answer it again. Because it just leaks. So vision is another way of saying strategy. I'm not telling you that my office is Mount Horeb and God came down with lightning and thunder. This is a strategy that's been vetted by so many meetings. We want to build with consensus here. We want to make sure that everybody knows what's happening. And so I believe that's to be important. And today I'm answering our why and our how as we go forward. Today, if you have a Bible, I want to invite you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Because I want to tell you a story about our church, the gospel, and you. Our church, the gospel, and you. In Hebrews chapter 2, I want to begin reading, if I might, in verse 14. Second chapter of the book of Hebrews, if you didn't bring a Bible, page 1276 in that black book in front of you, you're going to find word for word what I'm reading. Being again in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it's not the angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. The offspring of Abraham, if you're a child of God, if you've come to Jesus through the cross, you are an offspring of Abraham. Now keep reading verse 17. This is a crucial verse. Therefore, he had to be made, he is Jesus, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation. Say that word with me real loud. Say it with confidence. Propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. May God bless the reading of his word. I want to tell you again a story today. A story about a church, the gospel, and you. The gospel is about healing relationships. The gospel is about healing relationships. And at its bottom, at its essence, the bottom line, the gospel is about healing a relationship with God. When we talk about the gospel, I want to talk to you about just the power of it. In fact, I want you to think of the solar system. On Friday evening, Daniel Simmons, our student pastor, took his phone out. I think it was an iPhone. He held it up to the night sky, and there, what was just pinpricks of light of stars, on his screen was an identity of all those stars. Told me where the Little Dipper, the Big Dipper, all those things were. I thought that was marvelous. But as we think about the solar system is only a system as long as the sun is at the center of the system. All the planets are in harmony as long as the sun is their center. If the planets have the same center, they have harmony. But if they do not have a center as the sun, then there's just a celestial junk pile, a celestial accident where two stars or two planets collide. The gospel is the sun of this church's center. That's very important that you get that. We're not a political action committee. The pastor is not the center. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if the planets were disagree on the center, there's no harmony. But if the people of God can't find agreement on the gospel, then our church has no center. It has no sun. And the gospel is about healing relationships. And at the bottom, we are healed by God himself. In fact, verse 17, as I've done this before, I want to reinforce this. That word propitiation, that word is thought to be above our heads. In fact, one popular translation will not put that word in English Bibles. Oftentimes, there are certain denominations who will not sing about this topic. Whenever I see the word propitiation, a pastor taught me to see the cross of Jesus as a cosmic sponge. You know what a sponge does, right? It soaks up water. And the sponge, the cross, soaks up God's rightful anger at my sin and our sin. You see, contrary to popular belief, there is judgment. And there's a judgment day coming. And Scott Mays, the one standing in front of you, will face judgment one day. But because I've come to the cross of Jesus, the gospel, that son, the good news is this: all the judgment has already been poured out on the cross of Jesus. Jesus soaked it up like a sponge. That's what that word propitiation is. So whenever you see that word, I want you to think the sponge and how he soaks up the rightful anger, God's rightful anger, for our sins and your sins. I love that fact that that happens. In fact, as we think about a church now, we think about the story of the gospel, our church, and you, I want you to not underestimate the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I find lots of people who've heard the gospel as a child and think that it's like the alphabet, and we're to get past it as if there's something more sexy and cool out there. But the gospel is a big deal. The gospel can heal our relationships. It begins, watch carefully, watch the metaphor here. If the gospel begins in healing my relationship with God, then it begins to work outward and begin to heal all my other human relationships. It works in that epicenter there. And again, the gospel has to be our church's solar system, because when it is, I'm convinced the gospel of Jesus Christ, when it is understood and felt and experienced, can bring on citywide renewal. Here's a sentence I want to be very popular. I want this sentence, this next sentence to be, I want to be trending on our church's Twitter. Okay? The gospel is too valuable to be kept to ourselves. The gospel is too valuable to be kept to ourselves. For me to receive the gospel and hear it from my family and just keep it in my home and not share it is the most selfish thing. God is a sending God. God is a healing God. He's always sending healing. He's always sending his people with this message on our lips. We're to go into the neighborhoods and the nations and share about this healing, the gospel. But look at it secondly with me, not only the gospel, but look at this, the church. Think with me about our church. There are healthy churches and there are not so healthy churches. And every Sunday that you show up here, you've chosen, strategically perhaps, hopefully, you feel like the Lord is leading you here. Thankfully, there's tons of churches in this area. None of them are our competitors, not one, as long as they're preaching the truth of Scripture. We're to be praying for them. But as we do that, there's a special care. Remember I told you a moment ago that my role here is to hopefully bring leadership to make us as healthy as possible. So there's five values, five core values. One day when I'm really successful, I will not have to communicate these. The children will come up here and say, we've heard this before, you know. Have you ever done it with your kids? You say something so much, yeah, Dad, I've heard that. That's when you're tracking. They'll come back to that one day. Look at these five values. Think of them as five healthy vitamins. First, I always start with this one. Values 2 through 5, get them in any order that you want to, but this has got to come first. God matters. God matters. Polls tell us the majority of people believe that God exists, but most people I talk to in America are functional atheists. God is never in on the matters of their day. Most of our lives read like the newspapers when we read it. Newspapers have sections on politics and local community and sports, but they only give a section to religion maybe once a week, if that. We're functional atheists. I want this to be one of your life verses. Whether I eat or whether I drink, I do all for the glory of God. Your life, if you're a teacher, your life, if you're a student, your life, if you're in a band or an orchestra, your life, if you are at a 7-Eleven, is to take your life and put the spotlight of your life on Jesus. People who know you well should say, Jesus matters. God matters. Secondly, truth matters. We are a Bible teaching church. We are a Bible saturated church. While it may not be faddish in our day to be this, We believe that this ought to be a place where the pages of Scripture are open and it's taught. In fact, as I think about this, you might find it intriguing to know that over this past year, we've given nearly 2 million minutes to Bible study. Think of that for just a moment. 2 million minutes. You say, that's an awful lot. Do you think that they spent more time on science in North Richland Hills than they have on God? Well, Pastor, science is important. I agree that science is important. I love science. I love engineering. I just think that God is really important. I think His truth is important. Our church has spent, on average, about 2 million minutes of Bible study, or more than 1.9 million minutes. In fact, our Wednesday night wild, which is where our elementary school kids gather, it's just craziness squared. Not just craziness. Put a little two out there. Walk up there, just... They memorized nearly 4,000 Bible verses together. That's valuable, to put the Word of God. Psalm 119 says His Word is sweeter than honey, and we're to delight ourselves. You know, fads come and go. Architecture, there's fads. Clothing, there's fads. There's a few people, men in this room, in this church, who still think wide ties are in fashion. God bless them. Fads come, fads go, but the Word of God is forever. Third, generous living matters. And when I say generous living, I'm not speaking here of tithing, though I think that's important. I'm speaking about a church that gets out into the community and does things about people suffering and disease and poverty and racism. Things like natural disasters and aging. We can't give enough of cups of cold water in the name of Jesus to reference Matthew 25. For the sake of making myself more pious than I really am, that happened to me recently, this is a simple, simple thing. You can do this. Daniel and I were in East Texas. We were at Bucky's. I got to introduce him to Bucky's. I was filling up my car. And as a pastor, so many people ask you for money that you know it's coming, you know, just like a father. You know when the teenager walks in, they're going to ask you for money. You know when it's going to happen. And I could see it out of the corner of my eye. Daniel could too. So this lady came up. And when you're at a gas station, you kind of look around to make sure everything is what it is. Just make sure it's one person, not multiple. And she explained her story from Florida to New Mexico, how she'd had a baby literally in the last week or so, and could I buy her a tank of gas? So I went over there, and I used my debit card, and I filled up her tank, and there I met her husband. Now, why he didn't get out and ask, that's another sermon. I don't want to get into that. And I saw all three kids right back there. And here's the last thing I said to her, and this is what I want to teach you to do. Ma'am, I want you to know that I'm doing this today because Jesus loves you. I'm a pastor, and I'm doing this in the name of Jesus. I didn't have a long time to share with her, but I wanted her to know that my generosity, and it was very little, was connected to Jesus Christ. I think that's what a church is about. Guys, you get that. You were doing it long before I got here. And it's just, it's so powerful. Our church, as I mentioned a moment ago, I met a young man this weekend that I was just so impacted that he was here. I can't tell you all of the story for the fear of embarrassment, but you need to know that we're not just reaching suburbia here. We're not just reaching moms and dads with a nuclear family where there's a white picket fence out front. The people that walk through these walls, they've got a mess going on in their home. And this young man's getting himself here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And I just could not believe his story. I just want you to know that's routine here. God has placed us in sort of suburbia, but we're on the edge of an area that really needs a lot of help. And the government, my friend, what did Ronald Reagan teach us? The government's not the answer. Jesus Christ sent us in this community to love them. Generous living matters. Fourth, people matter. Our fourth value is that people matter. God calls us to value people, to love people. Again, the gospel is about healing relationships. And at its bottom, the gospel brings us into a healing relationship with God Himself. And when that gospel renewal happens for a father, the father's home will not be the same because that gospel will run into every crevice of the family. And his relationship with his wife will change, with his kids will change. whenever we have the gospel inside of us, we now have the resources to bring healing to every other relationship. We now, as an employer perhaps, can learn how to treat people more humanely and realize that we don't have to be Scrooges. Yes, embracing the gospel can even make a difference to race relations. I'm convinced that Jesus Christ is needed even more in our community because of the matters we have. Fifth and lastly, evangelism matters. We are convinced that people of themselves are not fine. We're convinced that the 7 billion people alive in this world today are not all children of God. Yes, they're created by Him, but they need the message of Jesus Christ. You see, I don't know what you think about people. Maybe you think people are worth a penny. Maybe they're worth a dime. But the Bible says that people are valuable as diamonds. And I'm always reminded by a little quotation here from C.S. Lewis. I'm going to paraphrase. Every single human being you see will spend an eternity somewhere. Think of that. They're either going to spend an eternity in heaven or in hell. They are going to be eternal souls. The sheer magnitude of this. In fact, I want you to know, as I mentioned a moment ago, if this is a stockholders meeting, that's an analogy that's pressing it a bit, but I want you to know what your church is doing. I want you to meet Sarah. Look with me at this video.
I'm Sarah. I was born in Iraq, and I spent most of my childhood in my young ages in Iran. So when I worked with military in Iraq for our protection, after 2 years, they helped me to come to the United States. Now here in the U.S., in North Russian Hills, I was always driving my little girl in the stroller, coming by this North Russian Hills Baptist Church, always seeing this church's door is closed. I never seen people go in there, how they go. But then when my family come, my father tells me, you need to come on Sundays. They're open and they have gym, they have all kind of programs. They have ESL, English, and I learned that there's Bible study classes, and I thought I maybe wouldn't understand it. I came anyways, and I looked in my Bible anytime that they go, turn to page this and turn to Matthew, they explain it for us, and that made me, you know, so hungry. It will not leave my brain. I just wanted to know, what is that? I would go home and look it up again and read about it. Still, I couldn't understand. I would ask questions and then I would research, when suddenly my father, who was like my best friend, dear to my heart, passes away. This pain was, you know, beating me so hard. He was the one who brought me over here. He was the one who encouraged me to watch this, do that, you know, introduce me to all this new world. No, he's gone, and I don't know what to do. I keep going to Miss Debbie, and I tell her, Miss Debbie, what do I do? She just teach me how to surrender myself to Jesus, and when I did that, I just tell them, these problems is heavy for me. I cannot handle it. Please take it for you. This is all, I just give it to you. He answered my prayers, and he's there every step of the way. And now it's time for me to leave, and I'm overwhelmed with a new job, with a new environment. I'm not just a U.S. citizen. No, I'm just a newborn, new person. I want to go carry on his mission. I want to go share my experience. I want to go tell people, God is there. Just see him. He's there.
Amen. I want you to pray for Sarah. She had her last Sunday with us a week ago. She's going to a country where the gospel is not well received. There's not a lot of religious freedom. Her husband is yet to trust in Jesus Christ, so you need to pray for him. But that is phenomenal. May I say to you, if the government wants to build a wall, that's fine. But as long as we're here, I think Muslims ought to be introduced to Jesus. And I'm so grateful for that. Evangelism matters, my friend. Here's our five values: worship, teaching of the Word of God, intimate fellowship where people matter, aggressive evangelism, is compassionate social concern. If you find a church is operating on all five, you're watching and seeing the operation of the Holy Spirit. This is a story about the gospel, a church, and you. This is where you come into the story. Because in a day and age when commitment to certain things, such as a church, are not seen as fashionable, come and you go and making no commitment, I'm calling on you to plant a life in a church to make a difference with the gospel by living a life of hope and mercy and compassion. To do this, again, I feel as a pastor, as a leader of the church, and the stewardship of what's been given me is to point our church forward. To do that, we began Grow Together, a follow-up to Better Together. But Grow Together is a 30-month, two-and-a-half-year campaign that strategically launches our church in a direction that we think that can change even the fabric of our society. Today, as I talk about the next 10 or 11 months, I'm going to give you a couple of new ministries that are happening, a new developments happening here at North Richland Hills, and then I'm going to turn to Cross Church. You need to be aware that a lot of our resources are happening at Cross Church, and we'll be freed up when this is happening and this is completed to put renewed vigor and zeal here. But let me share with you a couple of just fantastic things I'm excited. I'm excited to tell you that bus ministry has been made simple. Bus ministry is made simple. I spoke to Greg Abbott. He himself, because of my influence, changed the bus laws. There's no need for a CDL. And if you believe that, I've got oceanfront property between Keller and Hearst. We discovered, some of our staff did, when they crunched the numbers, the three buses that we have and as much as we spend on them and the maintenance of them, and then the difficulty of getting people with CDLs, that if we were just to pay a firm who does buses and have them do it on Sunday, we would spend as much or less as a church. Here's the thing I love. Now, when our staff comes to you and says, would you work in bus ministry, now there's no CDL required. You now no longer have an obstacle between you and ministry. Don't you love that? I do. In fact, we need adult riders with a heart for kids and for families. And friend, I want to ask you, if you want to be used of God on Sundays and Wednesdays, just ride a bus. That's all you need to do is ride a bus. Some of the people who come into this place are there because moms and dads don't care enough about church to drive them. And you have an opportunity to impact and get to know them. Week upon week, your face, your volunteer face, your shining, smiling face can be a beacon of hope. If you want to be, look at me, if you want to be used of God, I'm telling you how to be used of God. If you want to know what God's will is for your life, where you see poor people and where you see suffering, get your sneakers on and run toward that, and now you're living in the will of God. God loves this kind of ministry. He's a magnet toward it. And that's where I love this. So best ministry is made simple. Thousands of you will volunteer for this. I'm excited about it. Secondly, I'm excited to address another area where Stuart Pendle's been leading us in a re-engaged marriage ministry. It's no secret that marriage is a political potato in our day, but it's also one of the areas that people are really struggling in. Pastors are inundated with marital issues, even healthy marriages. They come to us. And I want to tell you, one of the depressing things over 20 years is dealing with marriages and not getting them across the finish line. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I were walking together, and we'll be married 22 years, and I said, don't you recognize that, God willing, if we get to be 40 and 50 years marriage, how much of a minority we'll be in? So this is for healthy marriages. This is for struggling marriages. Beginning on Sunday, August 6th, during the Sunday morning Bible study at 9:30, we'll do a marriage re-engage ministry fashioned by Watermark. But we love it. I'm excited about it. I'll begin preaching on the topic of marriage the last Sunday in July, and I would love for dozens of you to go there. In fact, if you have a healthy marriage, I want you to go through this, because we're going to need couples to mentor other couples. This is a great opportunity to be able to pour in the life of others. So be praying with me about that and be looking for more details. But as I turn my attention from Cross Church, or from North Richland Hills campus to Cross Church, I want to focus for just a few moments and help you understand where it is. There you see is along 287. You'll note our property by tall power lines up in the air and the new charter school that's happening on the north or the west end of it. The growth of Fort Worth is unreal. You're seeing here, hopefully in the moments to come, a drone video. Those houses were not there just 18 months ago. You're seeing our property there to the right of the screen, the charter school along the backside, and Highway 287. The growth of Fort Worth is unreal. I'm not going to go into all that, but our newly reelected mayor, Betsy Price, the one quote that I remember from a Star Telegram article back in May of last year is, quote, "We're never going to be pour enough concrete to keep up with all the growth." And if you've been on 35 recently, you'd say, amen, mayor. In fact, as we look toward this, watch with me now this timeline. We're going to show you this a couple of times today. For those of you who've been part of our church and watching us near this completion, this is our timeline to construction. Now listen, I've been talking to you for a long time about this, 4 years. I'm happy to tell you the land is paid for. If you're new to our church, we paid off $3 million in 27 acres of land in 3 years. The land is ours. Now, you're about to see walls go up beginning in August of this year, and our construction manager tells us we'll be walking into those walls in Easter of 2018. Now, I just love hearing my voice say that so much that I need to say it again. You know what I'm saying? If you're an empty nester, please, I love you. I know that I'm going to miss my kids, but watching them walk across graduation, glory to Jesus. Let me say it again. I love it. The land is paid for. We're 300,000 and change away from having the 20% down payment we agreed on as a church to start seeing walls go up. And our people are going to walk into a facility by Easter of next year, God willing. I'm excited about that. Now, let me just speak to you for a moment. Just speak to our church. Just look at me, dial in. Staying power is needed. We live in a day and age of digital media, and everybody's got the attention spans of a firefly. And if it doesn't happen like, you know, tomorrow or maybe the day after, good things will happen if you stay after something. This is a long journey. I think of it as a child struggling to continue their education, and they want to jump out because they don't see graduation. I think of it as a single or a married couple who are struggling to pay off debt. And they don't recognize that what can't be accomplished perhaps in a month can be accomplished over 4 or 5 years. We've got something good happening, but we've got to stay with it. We're a year away from seeing the results of all the work we've put in it. And because my life is in this journey and I have 3 teenagers, I get it. I'm not going to see the results I want to see tomorrow. But if I keep after, there's a day that I'm going to get to see prayerfully my daughter walk down an aisle or my 3 kids walk across the stage. Or, God willing, grandchildren that I'll get to enjoy and perhaps send back out with them one day. That's the joy in this. It's the joy of a journey. We need staying power. And if we keep our hands to the plow and we keep our focus toward the future, good things are coming. Let me give you some updates on Cross Church. Some of you invested a lot there, some sweat, some other resources, including your money. Let me share with you what's happening. Let me just share with you, beginning first-time guests. Here on the screen, what you're seeing is the number of first-time guests that are appearing. 104 in 2014, 150 last year, and 86 this time, or the first 4 months. We'll see about 100 first-time guests in this campus in a given month. So I want you to picture this with me for just a minute. This came real to me. I Googled Cross Church on Google Maps. It doesn't have a location. Google Maps doesn't know where it is because where we're meeting is an elementary school. And where we own has not yet been platted. So this is all happening, and they still can't find us yet. Isn't that good? Number of new members, there's 14 in 2014, 14 in 2015, 18 last year, and 7 pending presently. When we were pushed away from Schluter Elementary and the Nance Elementary, this hurt us. For those of you who know the Northwest School District, you can't find Nance unless you're going there. And for about a year, we were in Nance Elementary, but we're back at Schluter. And we're seeing the number of guests show up on a Sunday. It's coming back up. Cross Church is 3 years old, and as you're seeing here, the number of baptisms, we've had the privilege of baptizing 7 through our efforts, and we have 1 pending. In fact, let me share with you some of the outreach. Vacation Bible schools, kids' beach clubs, which are after-school Bible studies, extravaganza, trunk or treat, food truck Sundays, car shows on Father's Day, snow cone Saturdays, and Love Loud projects. Our goal is to do the same thing among the Northwest School District as we're doing in Birdville. We've already been identified and awarded by the Northwest School District for our volunteer service. And so this is important. And did I tell you that the land is paid for? Did I mention that? I'm excited about that. That's Danny Roberts burning the note this past, about a year ago, if memory serves. I want to share with you now what many of you heard in the listening sessions, 4 reasons to build right now. I want to be really clear. The only obstacle between us and making even more impact is a building. The only obstacle between us and making even more of an impact is a building. The only obstacle between us and making even more of an impact is a building. They will tell us, we'll come back when you get a building. Now, we can criticize that. We cannot like that. But, you know, you may not like the rain, but you can't stop the rain. And so let me tell you 4 reasons why we should build right now. First of all, we need a building. We need a building because renting makes us invisible. You don't see a renter. What do you mean by that? We can't have a sign. It wasn't until this past Tuesday that we even got the zoning ordinance to put up larger signs. We still can't put a sign up by Fort Worth zoning laws until we have a building. It's just difficult. We're invisible to this community. Renting also makes us subject to them pushing us around wherever they want us to go. As I mentioned a moment ago, from Schluter to Nance, and now we're back at Schluter. Renting also, we're at somebody else's dime. They can raise it. They very rarely lower it. They can raise it. We need to build now. We need to build now because of midweek Bible study and meeting space. The only times we can meet as a church, for Cross Church, is Sunday morning. They come here to meet to practice their music ministry. But they don't shop here. They don't do anything here. Imagine what happens when you learn that you have to drive 20 minutes other direction across traffic. You don't do it. That's why we have this campus. But there's no place for children ministry to meet or student ministry to meet. The time to build is now. We need a permanent place, third, in North Fort Worth. As I mentioned a moment ago, they said, when you get a building, we'll be back. The impact of a building with a sign on it tells everyone that we're here permanently. Friend, we are not a cool breeze that blows in as a church. We're not a blow-up church that rents something and is here today, gone tomorrow. We've been here 61 years. And God willing, by His grace, we'll be here another 61 years. Think with me. If I could take you to that land and show you that it's not about steel, and it's not about drywall. It's about marriages being healed. It's about a consecrated place that kids are fed spiritually as well as physically. It's a place where the Word of God is shared. We need to build now. Lastly, I'm just going to get really, really practical. We need to build now because our core team is tired of setting up and tearing down. Imagine if every time you came to church, you set everything up, you tore everything down. They've been doing that for 3 years. May I share with you, churches are doing this for 4 years, as we'll be doing it. They're very, very, very rare. Our volunteers are phenomenal. In fact, Mark Spence, who is the early leader on this, he said, other places I've gone to see, you could hear curse words among the setting up, tearing down team. We've got some really rare, godly people. We've got people who just put God first and the church first. And they've been doing this. The time to build is now. In fact, I'm announcing that on May 21st, North Richland Hills, I invite you to join with me to Loving on Cross Church and this core team. We're going to throw them a party on Sunday night, May 21st. When you go out there and you set up and tear down, I can't tell you, look at me, I can't tell you how important it is to their psyche. In fact, there was a Sunday a few weeks ago that none of us showed up to help them tear down, and so they were all left to themselves. And somebody made a comment that they shouldn't have made, and it got back to me and made me upset. But I got to thinking, they don't realize how much we love them. So we're going to throw them a party. Jimmy Delgado back here, I'm told you have the best dry rub recipe this side of the Mississippi. How else do you show love to people in Texas other than what? Barbecue. Amen. The wedding supper of the Lamb will be eating barbecue and mashed potatoes. I need to talk to you about cost for just a moment. All the cost that you're seeing has been agreed upon in a business meeting within our church body. You're seeing that we estimated a cost of just under $4.9 million in the fall of this past year. We agreed to a 20% down payment, just under $1 million, with a balance to finance. Our church is allergic to debt. We'll go in debt when it's necessary, but we do not stay in debt. We get rid of it quickly because we know that our money doesn't need to be going to interest. It needs to be going to people and ministries. So I could tell you on authority that we're going to dump this debt as fast as possible. We're going to press the accelerator down. But we're going to put the walls up, as you see in this next slide, when 20% is down and 80% will be amortized over a 10-year period with the goal of paying it off perhaps in 4 years. So Sunday, May 21st, we have a one-day offering goal of $300,000. And if I can just get you to focus for just a moment with me. Do you remember I told you three times a moment ago the only obstacle between us and greater impact was a building? The only obstacle right now that I have to starting that building is $300,000. You came to church and the pastor's asking you for money. That's what's happening right now. It's not for myself, it's for the kingdom. I believe that God's going to do remarkable things. And I know you've been giving. I know you've been generous. In fact, this next graphic that you're going to see shows, look how far we've come. This is not the land, by the way. It's not that first campaign. This is just toward this $1.3 million goal of putting the 20% down. Now, you may be saying, now, Pastor, I thought we needed a little less than a million down, and now you're asking for 1.3. Where's that other money going? I'm so glad that you asked. Over the course of these next 30 months, our church will have given $500,000 toward missions beyond Cross Church and us. We don't want to be involved just in church planting in North Richland Hills or in North Texas. We're giving monies all around the globe from Vancouver to Southeast Asia and beyond. Now, I need to make you aware, I can't get into the details and I'm almost finished, there is increased cost to this project. In fact, we have this date designated on Wednesday, June 21st at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to come back. The details of the costs are coming in, and I wish I could tell you they're under where we projected. But the truth is, you know your property value, your taxes. Did you get your taxes this year? Praise the Lord. Right? And then what you said? Thank you, Jesus. Everything's costing more. And so the truth is, the faster we build this, the cheaper it's going to be. So I invite you to come on Wednesday, June 21st. Please be aware that our church, our building oversight team, has selected the Chrisman Company as the construction manager and contractor. Many of you know Ken Norton. He's a longtime member of our church. Much of the facilities behind you, he helped remodel. We have a history with Ken and his company, and so we're excited for them. Our building oversight team has chosen Paragon 360 as the audiovisual components. They're going to be doing that for our worship center. And you're going to see pretty much from day one that the worship center there is going to have a lot of technology and a lot of audio. It'll be superior to even the one that we have here. The Fort Worth City Council approved the zoning changes, allowing us, this past Tuesday they did that, allowing us greater flexibility, using larger signs and uses for our property in future days. There's four phases to the architectural planning. We're on phase three presently. We're continuing to work with the city of Fort Worth to learn the specific requirements and plans for future days. But I want to remind you, we're not doing this as just steel and piping. We're not just looking at drywall and foundation. This is the place where, God willing, thousands will be baptized. This is holy ground where people will come to faith in Jesus Christ. This is where buses will leave for camps. This is the place where people will meet for mission trips for all over the globe. This is where marriages will be healed. And this is where the hungry are fed. That's why this is so important, to come together. Again, the timeline that you see is before you. And I say in conclusion to you, don't insult God saying that He cannot use you. I've seen people who are too big for God to use, but I've never seen anybody who's too small for God to use. The times that we live in are challenging. You might even say these are wicked days that we live in. I wouldn't disagree with you a bit. But I want to remind you that God is not sick. God is not tired. He has never been in a mattress store choosing out a mattress. He's never gone to sleep, nor will He ever. God isn't dead. He hasn't even applied for Medicare. He doesn't care any of what goes on in Washington, D.C. He will not benefit from any of that. He is alive. And people like Gideon, who use small numbers of people to defeat God's enemies and advance His kingdom, they breathe the same oxygen that you and I breathe. God is still God. If God is for us, if God is for us, if God is for us, who can be against us?